it's Saturday night. Yeah. I pray for the wicked on the weekend. Mama, can I get another amen? Oh, oh, it's Saturday night. Swear to God, I ain't never gonna repent. Mama, can I get another amen? Oh, 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 it's Saturday night. Yeah.
All right, like to welcome everybody to Devi Happy Hour. This is episode one, the inaugural episode. We're here to provide Devi insight, ways to improve your Devi rosters, as well as look at the college football landscape with each episode. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Devi Happy Hour, and our email is devihappyhour@gmail.com. Before we get started, a special thank you to Tyler Gunther at DHH Tyler for reaching out to us and giving us another avenue to provide Devi information to all the masses. At this point, let me introduce my co-host, who's fresh back home from Mobile, Alabama, Andrew.
Hey, Dwight, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. My week was not quite as fun as yours. I was under my house replacing pipes yesterday while you were at the bar for a mock draft. But
I was at the bar till 1, 2. It was just, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, actually got done under the house just in time to listen to. I listened to most of the Stick to Football mock draft, so. That was pretty cool, but
not the Draft Network one, though, right?
No, I read that one, but I was listening to. I was on Matt Miller's Twitter there, kind of following along with it.
They were very heated. They did theirs first, and then 2 hours later, Draft Network's like, "Hey, we're going to do one at the same time." So it was entertaining to be down there for the East Coast West Coast thing, and Mello's trying to find Snoop Dogg gifts to post and. It was a hoot.
That's great. Yeah, I didn't even notice that the timing was so close. I checked out both of them because I like both of those sources. Yeah. are two of my favorite sources right now.
For sure.
Guys, I bounce back and forth from one to the other. In case you haven't realized, it is Senior Bowl week, and my boy Andrew here was down there for a couple days, so we're going to talk to him a lot about what he saw and his overall experience. Just one really quick bit of news that I saw just before I hopped on was that a five-star recruit is actually put his name in the portal today. Five-star Brew McCoy was committed to USC and had enrolled in spring classes. Like, he hasn't even played a game yet or anything. He put his name in the transfer portal. It's rumored he's going to be heading to Texas, which instantly makes their draft class top five. Total surprise. He's citing Cliff Kingsbury leaving as the reason why he's wanting to transfer. So kind of a surprising news. And then while I was digging into that, I noticed there was quite a few other transfers. Maybe that's something we'll have to cover in the next couple of weeks. But I didn't know if you even caught that. It's
no, I did because, again, Matt and Mel were pretty excited about it. They were kind of caught off guard by it. And being Texas fans, they were to the max of, okay, cool, hook them.
Right. Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that. I'm sure they're happy as all get out. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into the Senior Bowl recap. Like I said, Andrew's been down there in Mobile, Alabama for the last couple of days. Unfortunately, Wednesday's practice he didn't get to go to. It was rained out, so he was forced to sit in a bar and drink all day and talk to – sounds horrible. I'm sure you'd have rather been at practice, honestly. So tell me a little bit about your overall experience. What was it like, man? Would you get to see much, do much? Like
it was – to start off, ironically enough, I walk in to get my credential and Ben Albright's coming out and holds the door for me. And he doesn't know who I am yet. So I said, "Hey, Ben." He was like, "Hey, man, who are you exactly?" And I said, "It's DHH Mander." And he goes, "Oh, sweet, buddy." He's like, "Glad you made it down." So it was just funny, like right off the rip, that ice had to be broken. And I think that kind of was good because then it wasn't anything I was worried about the whole time, just how everything was going to be. Go up to get my credential. I was talking to a couple of Cowboys writers. They were covering the draft. One of them, it was his second year there, and I said to him how I was kind of fanboying out a little bit because it's just you're in this room at the hotel and all these players are around. All these media outlets are setting up. Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks walked by in front of me. Bucky looked like he was Lindsay Lohan trying to hide his face from a tabloid shoot as a perp walks going on. He was all hooded up, sunglasses and everything. So it was interesting to see that. Rappaport was there. I'm pretty sure he's 2 feet tall. the first day I was kind of really fanboying out, just seeing everybody. And you're like, holy crap, I don't belong here. But then it was kind of like once you get networked in with everyone, that you're like, okay, I can kind of make my way through this.
Yeah, it's cool. It sounds like anybody that's listening, if you haven't been anything, it sounds like you'd just be, we'd all probably be in the same boat, man. Like, yeah, you watch football so much and you see these guys on TV, but to stand amongst them, I think most of us would probably be fanboying out. So
it's incredible. Tuesday was media day. I was told usually the rookie reporters don't usually get a lot of one-on-ones, but I was like, I'm not going to just – because I was with a couple guys, and they were first-time people, and they're like, well, we don't want to be rude or anything. And I was like, well, screw that. I said, I came here to talk to somebody. I said, so we're going to go talk to people. So first one I got to talk to was Debo Samuel, wide receiver out of South Carolina. Somebody asked him when I was talking to him, because it was when he was at the podium, if he's worried that his injury history is going to raise question marks with teams. And Debo snapped back real quick, and he's like, I think I've played well enough this year, and I will play well enough this week that nobody should have to ask that question again. So I was like, he's ready to hit the field and go out there and do something. And he has had a great week. He's one of my winners, which we'll get to later. I got to talk to my draft crush, Wes Hills, running back out of Slippery Rock. He's very big in person as far as height. He's a little underwhelming, like weight-wise and size-wise. He came in a little lighter than a couple people expected. But I think once he gets into an NFL weight room, I don't think that's going to be an issue. He's had a good week of practice too. Got to talk to Gardner Minshew, quarterback out of Washington State. I talked to him more about College Game Day just because I wanted to see what he thought about the state of emergency they had to declare. Talked to Trace McSorley. Ironically enough, somebody from the Alliance Football League was there and asked him if he'd ever consider playing there, which I don't think he really appreciated considering the stage he was on. Andy Isabella was there. He was pretty excited. Didn't say he deserved the Biletnikoff Award, but when someone asked him how he felt about it, he kind of hinted at it. So he has a bit of a chip on his shoulder too. And Jacoby Myers I talked to, he was kind of a goofball with it. My wife called and she has her phone in there, or maybe my phone is my sexy ass wife, and he looks at me and he goes, I would answer that if I were you. He's like, I'll totally wait for this. So it was Jacoby Myers was fun to talk to, and I asked him about a lot of people go with him, and the first thought is the one-handed catches, the athletic plays, and so on. And he kind of really didn't like that. He said how he wants to prove this week he could be more of an athlete, he wants to prove that he could be a receiver. So it was kind of interesting talking to players. A lot of them came into the week with some chips on their shoulders. And the way practice has played out, I think you saw who came in with an edge and who just kind of came in expecting to play well and necessarily hasn't.
That's the experience. Let's dive into the players at this point. That's what everybody wants to hear about. So you alluded earlier, Debo Samuel, that's pretty much the only name on everybody's tongue at this point. Like, I don't know how many videos I've seen of him just making defensive backs look just dumb. There was one a few minutes ago. He stopped and like pivoted, and the guy just like fell on his ass. Like, he's got his moves and his cuts are ridiculous.
At one point, somebody put on Twitter, they noticed it was the same practice. He kept torching the same guy. So they posted the Rocky IV gif of throwing the damn towel. He just, all week, like I said, at media day, I could tell something was going to happen. And I told Connor and Matt and Mello, because they didn't go to media day, I said, I would expect Debo Samuel to do something. And he really has. He came out and had a fantastic week. He had another great day today. Unfortunately, I wasn't down there because I had a very early flight. But I did have Connor text me a couple things. And one of the first names he threw up on there was Debo Samuel is really winning the wide receiver group down there, which was kind of underwhelming on paper just because there was a need for like a big name. Andy Isabella came in, I'd probably say, as that big name just because of his stats that are a little bit over the top. But I think Debo Samuel came out as the top wide receiver down in Mobile.
Right, and he was highly regarded before, but he just has had a little bit of an underwhelming performance-wise. There has been a few injuries, and then the quarterback play at South Carolina has been a little eh. Jake Bentley's put up some decent numbers, but he's definitely not like an NFL quarterback. So
he did have somebody ask him about that, if Bentley held him back, which I kind of thought was a bit ballsy to ask. he responded back. He's like, no, he's like, Jake's a great player. He's like, his job is to get the ball near me, and my job is to do what I can to get to it. So he totally owned that, which I really liked that answer.
Right. Yeah. He faced the best cornerbacks in the country down there in the SEC. So yeah, he looked amazing, and he'll definitely, I think he's probably vaulted into the possibly second round
conversation. Yeah, they're talking top 50 yeah. now for him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So if in rookie drafts, I think Samuel before could have been a value. I think
right.
if he keeps play, if he does a good, has a good combine, he could sneak into that early second, late first talk, depending on what team he goes to.
Oh, absolutely. All right, we're going to quickly run through the quarterbacks here this week. And kind of the name that's been like the most surprising is, it seemed like Jared Stidham, surprisingly, has been the most impressive consistently this week is what I've hear, what I hear. And did you see get to see him play at all?
Yeah, no, Stidham came out at the start of practice and threw a duck. And I was like, oh, God, here we go. I said, because we really wanted to see the 2017 Jared Stidham, not the inconsistent 2018 Jared Stidham. And I put on my notes, I was like, he's just, we're off to a rough start because his first two throws are really bad. And then he made a real nice throw, perfect sideline toss, toe drag by the receiver. I can't remember who caught it. And I think that kind of gave him his confidence, and he settled in from there. And since then, he has coasted all week. I mean, honestly, I would probably say he's, like I said, with Samuel being the top receiver down there this week, I think Stidham's played the best out of all the quarterbacks, which coming into it, if you would have said that, a lot of people probably would have laughed at you. But Stidham, I mean, he has the size, the NFL size that teams like. I listened to an interview he did with Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks. He was very personable there and aced that interview. And he said he's talked to a couple different teams. And one thing he said he's real proud of is being a locker room guy. And I think Stidham could definitely be an NFL quarterback for sure and a starter at that. I can't remember. I think it was the Stick to Football mock draft. They had the Giants take him in the second round. And I really like that because if Eli does just play to his old ways, I think Stidham would be really good in New York.
And Stidham's played the top teams in the country. And he's unfortunately, his stats don't show it because he's never been asked to do that much. You know, he leaned on Kerryon Johnson the last couple of years. And, you know, he's never been asked to be that guy that throws 40 times a game. He was highly regarded, so it was good to see him show up and like, get to kind of break out of his shell a little bit. Real quick, I've just – what I've heard is and what I've saw is it's just been pretty up and down all week with all the quarterbacks, and, like, nobody's really emerged other than Stidham at this point.
Minshew was average all week. I mean, he could definitely be an NFL backup. He came out, and he was part of the first quarterback group with – he was standing next to Tyree Jackson, and the person I was sitting with, Tyler Browning, who is definitely worth following on Twitter, I said to him that, I was like, who the hell is that next to Tyree Jackson? And he was like, I'm pretty sure that's Gardner Minshew. And he just looked tiny. I mean, Jackson
big.
Came in at 6'7". Everyone thought maybe he wasn't that tall, but he came in at 6'7". So he's a big guy. Transitioning to Jackson, he had a couple nice throws. He had a real nice rollout throw the first play or first day of practice this week that a lot of teams liked. I know Matt was talking about it this week when I was with them. He was saying how he was impressed by that. Ryan Finley kind of underwhelmed. He was just kind of so-so. NFL teams still like him, though, from what I was hearing down there with different people. So I think Finley's still going to get a chance somewhere, even if I think he may get overdrafted. Drew Lock had a beautiful throw to McMillan from Ohio State, who also has played very, very well. And you could argue is one of the best wide receivers down there this week. The most underwhelming guy and really the most disappointing has been Daniel Jones. Monday or Tuesday, he was average at best. They were doing, we're obviously video Dwight, but for anyone listening, the drill where you get the ball and you're a quarterback and you got to turn real quick and throw it to one side and then get the ball and turn real quick and throw it to the other side. He overthrew the guy standing on the sideline and nailed the part of the bleachers. Like, it wasn't even close. And we all just looked at each other like, what the hell just happened? And then on Wednesday for practice, his first two throws were picks in 7-on-7s. And then from there, I don't even know. I mean, I should say this from what I heard, but well, I didn't hear it from anybody too top notch to make him mad at me. A couple of people wanted to talk to Jones after practice, and his agent wasn't letting it happen. That if they want to talk to him, they have to go through his agent now. So that's just one of those things where it could look bad. And then speaking of looking bad and not really being that bad, Will Grier wasn't at media day, air quotes. He really was. He was just doing one-on-ones off, and he was doing his mandatory stuff. And then he got to practice early. He really wanted to get there early for Tuesday, get a feel for the field, work with a couple of his receivers. And it was really a non-issue, but despite what some people were thinking it could have been.
Yeah, a couple of the running backs that I've heard. Wes Hills has been talked about a lot, and you brought him up last week, which is it's good to see him get a chance to shine. And the other name I've heard a lot is Bruce Anderson, surprisingly, from North Dakota State, another small school guy. I was reading, kind of flipping through Twitter before we got on, and the Dynasty Dummies actually had Bruce Anderson as their RB3 in this class, which kind of surprised me. And he has looked pretty good this week from what I've seen. Another very productive guy at a small school. So did you get a chance to watch him play as well? Or
yeah, Anderson, I'm high on too. I wanted to watch him before I went down to Mobile. I am pulling up my exact grade on him now, but my favorite thing with him is just how he is as a pass catcher. He's not the Josh Jacobs level, but I mean, he's probably in the second tier behind there. So for us dynasty players with PPR, Bruce Anderson, I think, can definitely contribute to a team. He kind of reminds me as a Damian Williams type, where he's not going to run for 100, 150 yards, and he's not going to overwhelm you completely with stats and be like a top 10 NFL running back. But if you get him in the right system, he could be. So I think Anderson's definitely one of the guys with – he had a very good week as well. He was another guy that kind of had to get settled in. Yeah, I have an 18 out of 25 on him for myself. So, I mean, he's going to probably be near the top of my running backs too. So Bruce Anderson played very, very well. I was very impressed with him.
His wide receivers, we've already talked about Debo Samuel, and then – a guy that I thought would show out really well, Andy Isabella, has kind of taken the back seat to a guy, Penny Hart.
Yes. Yeah, wow. No. Tuesday, I was all about Andy Isabella. I mean, his routes are so clean. Gruden had him doing cone drills, and Isabella's was stopping on a dime. Footwork was great. His routes were great. But at the same time, he was still having problems with his catching ability. He's trying to catch everything with his body, not with his hands. In the NFL, that's usually not going to work. Then, yeah, Penny Hart out of Georgia State comes out of nowhere. Come down to Mobile. He wasn't someone I even really watched to come down here to get ready for it, but then he was just torching everyone. And they were doing punt return simulations, and they had Debo and Jacoby on one, and then they had Penny in another group, and Penny was looking fantastic with it. Like the way he was running into the punt returns just enough, like when he wanted to return it, to where he wasn't really risking the ball, but he was at least getting enough where he had the momentum, and then he was just taking off.
Right. Yeah.
I put on Twitter earlier. Okay.
Yeah. Get it. Well, yeah. Hop on Twitter. There's little people posting snippets of these highlights where, I mean, within 10 yards, he's 3 yards past the defensive back.
It's insane.
Like, his moves are ridiculous.
And that's the thing. It's not even just his speed. It's just his route running and his footwork is getting him open. Yeah. And then he's just so fast, it's like Tyreek Hill peace signs, throw him up.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of hands issue, but, I mean, it may have also been the quarterbacks. You know, he's adjusting to new quarterbacks as well. Hunter Renfrow looked really good, but we kind of sort of expected that. But the guy that's come out of nowhere, more or less, that I didn't even see on the roster up until recently is Terry McLaurin from Ohio State.
Just to touch on Renfrow real quick, I did see him at Media Day. I honestly didn't recognize him. I thought it was somebody from a media outlet, because he has the Tiger Woods hairline going on.
Right. Yeah, I can definitely see how you wouldn't realize that. Like, just for a quick reference here, Penny Hart is 5'8", 180. Hunter Renfrow is 5'10", 180. Andy Isabella is 5'9", 190. Those are guys you would just see in the grocery store and think, that's not a football player.
Isabella was definitely the thickest of the three of them that I saw. Renfrow looked very, very thin. No, I just he looks so old. And the old jokes are all over Twitter, but he looks so old.
It is the Senior Bowl.
And legit, he fits that to a T. But back to McMillan, though, the best play that Drew Lock had that I saw was a beautiful deep ball touch to the back corner of the end zone. And the reason it was such a good play was because McMillan got open. He's been burning receivers. Like Dwight said, go on Twitter. There's a lot of people posting all the receiver stuff. There's a lot of the one-on-ones is like the biggest drill to watch down there. He has definitely, like I said, it's really Debo and him and Penny Hart are the top three receivers down there. And if you would have said that coming into the week, everyone would have probably laughed at you at that point.
Now, I haven't heard too much about the tight end group. It's kind of an underrated group there. A little bit about Josh Oliver. I've heard his name a couple times come up, and Foster Moreau as well. I don't think we've got being as good as the tight ends that are in the class that declared as underclassmen. I don't think any of this group's going to be like highly sought after, but was there any that stood out to you this week? Or?
Foster Moreau, I was really happy with. I have him as a top 10 tight end in the class. The biggest thing at LSU that held him back was the fact that they despite them getting Joe Burrow and having the best quarterback play they've had in a while, they still are a run-based team. So Moreau was more of a blocker there. He didn't really drop anything the practice I saw. He was running not the quickest routes, but I mean, still, he's a big tight end. But he was running smooth routes. He was catching the ball with his hands. I really liked that. He was catching a couple deep balls as well. But the tight end that I was really excited to see was Dax Raymond, tight end out of Utah State. I was telling you, Dwight, before we recorded, I got my tight end rankings done, and Raymond's my number 5 tight end in the class.
Nice.
He's very raw. He's not really that good of a blocker, so he'll be a liability in that sense. At the same time, he has great hands. He's a big guy. He uses his size, which I really like a lot because not a lot of the big guys do that anymore from what I've seen. Because you got your top tier tight ends with Hockenson, Fant, Irv Smith, and then you got like in that second tier, you got Caden Smith, tight end from Stanford, and then I got Raymond right behind there.
Right.
And he's had a very good week.
That's all I got about that side. I kind of wanted to delve a little bit of the defensive side of the ball. I've been watching a lot of the one-on-one drills and stuff, and the defensive line, once again, this year is so damn good. I'm amazed at how deep it is. Like, we've got guys that look great that are probably not going to be even drafted in the first 3 rounds. I mean, I'm sure Jalen Ferguson's going to be. I haven't got to see any of his one-on-one drills yet,
He's been a bit underwhelming from what I've heard from people. I'll be honest. I mean, everyone knows you're the defensive guy and I'm the offensive guy for the most part. I wasn't watching because in the middle of the field, they had all the tight ends, wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs. And on the end zones, they had the one-on-ones with the defensive lines and the offensive line. So I wasn't watching them as much. He didn't do anything too over the top, but I mean, he'll still be sought after just because he is the all-time sack leader.
Right. I think for the NFL game, he's going to probably need to put on a little more weight. He's 6'5", 255-ish, 260, which, you know, is probably pretty close to what Von Miller is. So he's got that – he can do a stand-up, but I can't see him putting his – hand in the dirt and getting on the defensive end there very much. A guy I was really high on, I've heard has had a good week, is Charles Omanahu from Texas. And I saw a couple of drills of Montez Sweat just absolutely laying out linemen, which is
crazy. Sweat buried a guy using one arm. Like he legit just bull rushed him with one arm and just buried him into the ground. I will say someone I talked to down in Mobile, they were talking about how Omanahu, depending on who you ask down there, is either a potential first-round player or he's a late day-two player. There's no real in-between with it, but I have talked to a couple people that were around the Texas staff and have talked to some stuff, and the thing that teams are kind of worried about with him is that he's kind of soft because he is part of that one of the last recruiting classes before Herman came in to Texas. So that's something I've heard. Now, I don't think he's soft. He beat the living hell out of me personally.
I wouldn't tell him that. Yeah.
But I'm just saying what I hear. Nothing against Charles Omanahu. I wish him the best. But no, I've heard that is a big concern with teams is he could be soft. The talent's there. It's raw talent.
Yeah.
and he's definitely very gifted, but at the end of the day, you can't be soft in the NFL.
Yeah, I had him in this group as right around 10, 11 for defensive line, so late second probably. So, yeah, I like him, but he's definitely got some room to grow there. And a name that I thought was going to really show out this week was O'Shane Emmett Ximenez, and he has not looked very good from what I've heard and what I've seen.
He's been quiet. He hasn't made the noise that I kind of was excited for him to. I think the problem is a lot of people, kind of like with Easton Stick having the Carson Wentz comparison, a lot of people were comparing O'Shane Ximenez to Marcus Davenport from last year, who came down to the Senior Bowl and played good enough that New Orleans gave up a first-round pick this year to come up and get him. It's one of those things where unfortunate because the expectations are so high,
right,
that sometimes you can't live up to them.
Oh, well, Darden, a couple linebackers. I heard that Tevin Coney has looked really good, and then a name that I thought was going to be better because he's more of the style linebacker that I like is Cam Smith, and he's looked good this week. So that's kind of a good name to hear. Is there any other linebackers you heard some buzz on?
I was just looking real quick. Another defensive lineman, Daylon Mack.
Yes, Daylon Mack's been fantastic. Some reason I don't have him on my list. That's right, because he was just invited after after he destroyed the game last week.
Yes. Yeah, Daylon Mack, former five-star recruit, kind of underwhelmed for a lot of people. But then at Texas A&M, he's been ace in the draft process. So
linebackers, though, is there any other – It's kind of another group that's got some solid names in there, but guys that I don't think are going to make a whole lot of impact in the NFL. I see Cam Smith, Chase Hansen, possibly. He's a little older.
Cam Smith, a lot of people were excited about because he came in, he was listed at 250, but then weighed in at 230. So people kind of like that he's going to have a little bit more of a speed ability to him as far as closing linebacker. Coney, you mentioned about or talked about, he played pretty well all week. Other than that, all the other linebackers were kind of quiet. Sutton Smith kind of had a big talk when he was coming in, and he's kind of been quiet. David Long, linebacker from West Virginia, he's been okay. So it's defensive-wise, there hasn't been a giant standout except for Montez Sweat and Daylon Mack, I would say.
The stick-to-football guys are really high on him, and I'm getting up on him too. Defensive safety Nasir Adderley from Delaware.
Yes.
Because he's looked really good. And Jonathan Abram, who was going to be probably one of the top in the back, kind of fell back a little bit this year, but the talent is there. He's a thumper, man. He is a nasty, nasty dude. Nasty streak, man. I love it. That's what I love in safeties. I miss that, you know? Although nowadays that gets you in a lot of trouble. He did get a targeting penalty, I think, twice this year. Abram did. Anyway, yeah. I'll let you talk about what you saw.
So he was one that a lot of teams were kind of upset about that he wasn't going to be there. I can't remember if it was an injury or if he just left. He had to leave early because he didn't pass his physical of his shoulder with his labrum. But that was kind of disappointing for a lot of teams because I know they were talking about him. But, yeah, I mean, Connor Rogers put out for Nasir Adderley, had more – and this is just from his Twitter, and he was telling me – he was going to text me a bunch of this stuff, but then he was like, I'm just going to put it all out for everybody. Had more of a cornerback build. Safety, but dude can flat out cover, fluid athlete who will be highly valued this draft. He's probably the best defensive back there, second one right behind it, and a fun name to boot is Rocky Sim, safety from Temple. He played really, really well. I will say the first practice they didn't have refs calling anything. I didn't see if he had anything today because I wasn't down there, unfortunately, but Rock was really holding a lot. Whenever he wasn't holding, he was getting torched at times, but I was told yesterday he recovered and today got even better. So it's one of those things. He'll have to get used to it, but yeah, definitely Adderley and Sim are the top two defensive backs down there.
Yeah, and I know that Matt likes Juan Thornhill too, and I haven't heard much about him this week, but I think he had Thornhill and Adderley both like top three, four defensive backs, you know, chosen safeties, I mean, at least. So yeah, it's interesting to see what happens the rest of the week. I'm excited for the game. I really am. Saturday I'm going to try to make time to sit down and watch that. So
I definitely think, and then I had the question on the stick to football about the quarterback group and just how
I was going to blindside you with it. I forgot.
I was not impressed, and I think the problem is you got the recency bias with last year had Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. But coming into it, you really didn't have any of those big names. You just had Josh Allen, and Baker kind of turned Senior Bowl into what it was. But you had, like, they talked about quarterbacks like Tanner Lee, which I completely forgot about. And as they said, the quarterbacks last year were able to make the defensive backs look really good. Up until yesterday, there hadn't been any picks thrown on 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s. So quarterback group's really good. So the whole game should have some pretty decent play, which is great for the receivers and tight ends involved. And it'll also mean, too, that if the defense plays well, they're playing well against a good quarterback. So it should be a very good game. I did get to talk to Jim Nagy down there, too. I told him, I said, he put together one hell of a roster. And he was very excited about it. It was his first year he was doing it. You could tell he was very anxious because the media day, he was literally touching base with everyone, making sure they were okay. And you could tell he cared a lot about it. And it hurt him a lot to cancel practice for the media on Tuesday or on Wednesday. But, I mean, as far as the game and the week and everything, it's been phenomenal down there.
Right. All right, real quick, and we'll wrap this up. Do you want to run over your biggest winners and biggest losers? I mean, I think we kind of covered them mostly, but if you want to go ahead and recap them.
Yeah, I mean, winners, definitely the receivers. Like we talked about, Deebo Samuel, Penny Hart, Keelan Doss, another one from UC Davis we didn't talk about, Jacoby Myers. A lot of receivers played very, very well. Another winner is Drew Locke. He's probably getting up there to be the QB2. Well, I guess you got Kyler Murray. Most people are going to have him as QB3. I haven't watched all the quarterbacks yet, so I don't got a ranking on him yet, so I can't say what I would have him at. But he had a very good week for all things considered. Jordan Palmer working with him, I think, is going to just keep continuing to help him all the way up to his pro day. And then my guy, Wes Hills, I'm really excited about. I really want him to get the MVP on Saturday just because I'm kind of proud of the fact that I was on him last week. He got MVP of the NFL PA Bowl. Now, if he gets it this week, I did get to ask him down in Mobile. I said to him, because another guy I was sitting with kept asking him, he's like, you know, for a small school guy, like, he started every question with that. And I said to Wes, I said, how much does it piss you off that that's the first thing everybody goes to? I said, you've got David Johnson and Tariq Cohen, who are small school running backs that are top running backs in this league. I said, do you want to continue to smash the narrative? Yep. He's like, I know if I get on an NFL roster, I will continue to do that. He's nice. Like, because I'll always be in a coach's ear and I'll always be learning. And he's like, there's ballers at every level. He's like, they may not be on national TV. They may not be on ESPN. But he's like, if I get on an NFL roster, he's like, I'll be able to do that. So I really like that answer. And then a couple losers for the week. I have Caron Higdon. Not because he did anything bad, but just kind of because he was quiet all week. You know, he's a player I'm high on, and I was excited.
He needed to have a big week, I think.
Yeah, no, he did need to, and he really hasn't. But like I said, he hasn't hurt himself. He just didn't help himself. And Isabella the same way.
Yeah,
Isabella didn't have a horrible week. It's just that everyone else played so much better. He's being overshadowed now. And then the biggest loser of the week has to be Daniel Jones. Teams will probably still take him mid-first, late-first, right, just because of the Cutcliffe scenario, the mechanics that are there. But, I mean, if you're throwing picks and then afterwards you aren't going to talk to media, that's not going to fly in the NFL.
Yeah, it seemed – was it – were they comparing him to Tannehill, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's who Mello compared him to from State to Football. And literally that's all I see anymore when I watch Daniel Jones.
Right. Well, awesome. That's great, man. To live vicariously through you, man.
No, it's I put a tweet out there. I loved Mobile. I had a lot of good food. I met a lot of good people through draft Twitter. I put out a tweet last night of all the guys I got to meet. I met some Ravens guys. I met a lot of Cowboys people, a Jets guy with Clayton. So it's a lot of hardworking people, and like, it was cool that I got to hang out with Matt, Mello, and Connor. But at the same time, I was able to hang out with a lot of the guys where when it was canceled media, we all got together in one of the Airbnbs and we all just talked about prospects and what we thought of them and everything else. So it's a fun time. And plus, now the practices are open for everyone, I definitely recommend, even if you're listening to this and you just want to get into writing or doing whatever with Devi or college football or anything, Senior Bowl is huge. There's a lot of good people down there. There's a lot of connections and networking to have. I can't stress enough to anybody.
Yeah, it's one of the more accessible events that we can go to, that just the normal guy can go to. So that's always, there's not a lot of those. So, all right, real quick, I'm going to wrap it up. Andrew, tell everybody where they can find your work.
They can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Mandrew. I'm going to have a write-up of my winners and losers for the Senior Bowl practices on the Score Crow this week. I'll probably have that out Saturday morning before the game, just so it's fresh in everyone's mind before the game. And then I will have my winners and losers from my winners from the wide receivers for DHH for your Devi consumption on Friday as well.
Excellent. Thank you, man. And you can find me at FF Peebles Champ and writing for DHH. I'm going to be focusing on, you know, Devi prospects and all that. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start really diving into the prospects. So you guys make sure you tune into us. And we also have another podcast, the Devi Owner's Manual. We'll be focusing more on like the strategy aspect of Devi. So check us out over there at some point too. And that's all I've got for this week, I think. Oh, real quick, you can find once again, DeviHappyHour @gmail.com and on Twitter, DeviHappyHour. And we look forward to talking to you guys so much more over this draft season. And talk to you next week.